Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 106.
This week on the podcast, Russia signs an agreement to track down those dirty scoundrels who are destabilizing Ukraine, which should be pretty easy because most of those scoundrels are Russian military men anyway.
The final Obamacare numbers show that Californians are just as late to sign up for healthcare as they are to meet you for brunch.
And CNN's ocean tragedy experts are having a banner year.
Keystone ambivalence rejoice as Obama announces yet another plan to not decide the issue.
And the Clintons tee up a potential 2064 presidential campaign with an as-yet unborn Clinton spawn on the way.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hi guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
Yes.
And...
do it. You should.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have any more
no.
quippy things to say about social media.
Nope.
Sick of social media.
But we're a day late this week.
Yeah.
Because we had a giant Easter Passover slash whatever you would celebrate celebration yesterday.
Cadbury cream egg.
Right.
Day.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a chocolate holiday.
So we were going to record it last night and...
well, I had a very exhausting Saturday night that
right.
involved picking someone up in the emergency room at 4 a.m.
Right.
So I certainly was in no state.
And I was drunk.
Right.
So instead, that was a problem.
We dyed eggs.
Right.
A bizarre pastel color.
They
wouldn't turn any other. I know. You couldn't. I saw other people's eggs on Instagram.
Yeah, they were much like brighter
they were
and
like,
deeper and
yeah,
richer in color. I don't
really
know what was going on with
colors.
Ours.
We're just not good at egg dyeing.
Apparently not. Oh, well.
Untalented.
Anyway. Yeah.
And then today we had an event-free Boston Marathon.
Yes, which
or
is
not
great.
Today, yesterday.
Well, right. Yeah, Monday.
Monday.
It's still Monday for
right.
us.
Right. It's so hard
right now.
To know.
It's very confusing. But we had an American winner.
Yeah.
That's exciting, I guess.
We can't
Go
pronounce
America.
His name.
No, I know. My first instinct was just sort of like very... in a, you know, a typical American thing to do would be like, well, he's not from America
right.
because he has a crazy
name. His name is like...
and then I realized that was insensitive.
Klevizigi or something.
It's closer than I'm even going to attempt
yeah,
to
I
get.
Don't know.
But he had all the names of the 2013 bombing victims on his bib. And so it was sort of, you know, cool. He bested his... it was his personal best. It was 2 hours and 8 minutes and 37 seconds.
Don't
that's too fast
run
to be running that,
fast.
That far.
That's...
I ran it in over twice that and
yeah,
felt
well,
really good about it.
Yeah.
So, that's just too fast. But he sort of like, you know, has had some marathon, you know, success before. He won the New York City Marathon in 2009, won a silver at the 2004 Olympics. But, you know, this was sort of like a cool year to win the Boston Marathon, I suppose, probably as an American.
Right. With a better year than last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Boston Marathon, you have to qualify for
you
it
do.
Too,
it's
right?
Quali-
it's not
yeah. mm-hmm.
like, it's not just like a marathon.
No, you don't just
people
show
are
up
running.
And do that, right? Yeah.
No one is running that in 8 hours or however long.
No, you can't.
People...
like people walk the entire Los Angeles Marathon route, which
right.
is like.
You know, have to because it's a million degrees
like
when you run the marathon here.
Right. Or it's raining.
Or it's raining.
A couple years
right.
ago, it rained mysteriously, which was
the
not
one
even the
time
right.
a year it does.
We'd be glad to have it rain this year.
Any
we
other...
already had the marathon. It was hot this year. Yeah.
Yeah. And people kept almost dying. Meanwhile, Ukraine is
ugh,
still
God.
A mess. That may not surprise you.
No.
But there were a lot of like weird things that happened this week.
Yeah.
For one thing, Russia is definitely up to some shenanigans.
Shenanigans, right. They've been claiming for a long time that they're not, but like everybody in Ukraine and pretty much throughout the entire rest of the world has sort
yeah.
of been suspect that these people who have been, you know, these pro-Russia people who have been taking over the government buildings in eastern Ukraine, like, probably have something to do with, you know, Russia. And it came out this weekend that, yeah, that's actually the case.
Right. Well,
so
first
were...
we learned that this happened in Crimea, where a lot of the, like,
yeah.
supposed, like, you know, independent pro-Russian forces were actually Russian
Just
soldiers.
Just Russian soldiers, right.
Which is the definition of an invasion.
Right. Well, and this is sort of like, you know, what Putin is getting up to, and he's sort of like, he's good at it, sort of. Like, he's like, isn't he former KGB Putin or something
yeah.
like that? Like, I mean, he really sort of, like, knows
how to,
like...
the kind of sneaky shit he's up to.
Yeah, I mean, he's
pretending like these are all lies.
Right.
But
he said it's ridiculous or something. I can't remember exactly what he said. Oh, he said it's all nonsense.
Yeah.
But basically what happened is that some pictures were released over the weekend, basically, of these people that are called the Green Men, which is sort of odd because that immediately makes me think of aliens. I don't know. It's just because I've been watching X-Files or what.
I know.
But, I mean, I feel like
it's also not,
not
a color I associate with Russia.
With Russia. Anyway.
Like if Italians were breaking into somewhere and being called the Green Men, I'd be like, well, sure, they're Italian.
So anyway, so they are, the Green Men are who have been taking over these government buildings, and there were pictures of some of them and descriptions, basically, and they've been endorsed by the Obama administration and some or other European countries who basically show who these people are and, like, can identify them as people who have, are
have
in
the
Russian
same
military.
Equipment and the same, they're sort of equipped the same way that the Russian military that were involved in Crimea were.
Yeah.
So you can see the similarities.
Right.
And the tactics they're using, a lot of military analysts have been saying, show, like, a kind of scary amount of, like,
finesse
and planning.
Finesse was the word that was used.
Yeah.
You don't
like,
often
long-term
use the,
planning.
Right. You don't often think of the term finesse when you're just... When you're like, random Ukrainian Russian person who's, like, taking, charging a government building. Like,
the word finesse indicates that there's strategy involved.
Yes, correct.
And strategy is what is making this so concerning.
Right.
Is there's obviously Russian, a pro-Russian, long-term strategy in play here.
And, of course, these photos are, you know, sort of, like, came out on Sunday. And on Thursday, Russia and Ukraine and the U.S. and some European countries signed an agreement in Geneva that basically was going to have Russia use its pull with the pro-Russian forces to get them out of the government buildings.
Which is going to be hard if those forces
are
Russia.
Actually Russia. Well, it might make it easier.
But they're not going to do it.
But they're not going to do it in the first place. So, but basically I read something earlier today that they said that they have days, not weeks to do this basically. Like, or it's, you know, like, because they signed this agreement, like they should be doing it now.
Right.
Like they don't need to sort of, there's nothing to wait. Like if they've claimed that they're going to do this, then they should currently be trying to do it.
It should be quite easy.
Right. Yeah.
Since they're hiring all of the people that are doing it.
But like Biden is in Ukraine right now, which is sort of like, you know, the highest.
That's a good sign.
I mean, yeah. Kerry has been there. A lot
right.
recently,
Kerry's like,
but like
doing that because he's the Secretary of State.
That's what he's supposed
like,
to be.
Like, once
doing.
You're sending Biden, you're sending someone who's not even Kerry to like deal with that.
He's more of a joke than John Kerry is.
Well, that's
probably right.
Yeah, but
is
he's
he helping
probably
there
to offend some people.
Right.
It's
yeah, where is
hard
it?
To
walk
know what he could be up
to. Aviators.
Yeah, he'll look cool though.
Uh-huh.
He's got a very movie starish smile.
Mm-hmm. Pearly
sort of
whites.
Looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, I feel like that it might help.
Yeah.
There was also this weird report that came out of eastern Ukraine that has since essentially been debunked.
Right.
But there was, all week, everyone was up in arms because on Monday, there were reports that someone was outside of a synagogue handing Jewish Ukrainians flyers that said that all Jews in Ukraine were, who were over the age of 16, had to go register at the local government's main building, which has been taken over by pro-Russian forces.
Yeah.
And would have to pay a registration fee of $50.
Yeah.
Obviously, oh, and list all of their property.
Yeah.
Now, obviously that was intended to sort of stoke some fears about there being an anti-Semitic agenda.
Right, and it did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Which was a success.
Because it certainly stoked it. All the way up to the president, it stoked it. I mean,
Everyone got really nuts about this. The people that were given credit for the flyers didn't want to take credit for them and said that they had no idea where these had come from.
Yeah.
Because the leader of the pro-Russian separatist movement was named in the flyer, Denis Pushlin.
Yep.
And he was like, I have not, this is not us.
Right.
We're not trying to get involved in this.
Right.
And for a while, everyone was acting like he was just denying it because, like, that's what you do. But then after a while, people were like, no, I think he's denying it because he didn't do it.
Right.
And it seems like there was some other sort of third agenda at play here where someone was trying to create the impression that the pro-Russians are anti-Semitic to kind of create some, you know.
Well, and I think that everybody is probably, I think most people are probably in an agreement that there's probably some anti-Semitism amongst that group.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well,
I don't
that's
think,
been well reported as part of the
exactly.
story.
Exactly. Like, I don't think that, but I think that this was honest. Well, and these were passed out. I mean, they were, flyers did exist. It's not as if they were, this was a total fake news story. It's just that
it's a really
it's not
cynical
a, it's
thing
just not,
to do.
Not a real thing. I think that there's sort of like, you know, nobody is actually going to do this. Nobody's going to register. I think, you know, it was BuzzFeed, which, as you and I were talking about earlier, is crazy to think that they are reporting actual news, but they are.
And that they have people on the ground in Ukraine.
I forget that they are, but they went to the place that they claimed that they were supposed to be registering, and it was, like, not a thing that was actually happening there. So it sort of is like, it was, for whatever reasons, it was sort of meant to scare up a certain sort of, you know.
Yeah, and it's not clear to me whether it was meant to scare up some anti-Semitic supporters for the pro-Russian side or to make the Russians look like anti-Semites. Seem like bizarre things to be starting. But there have been some suggestions, some sort of veiled references to anti-Semitism that Putin has been using, or the Russians have been using, to kind of, like, make a case for their, you know, involvement in the region. So, like, there have been a lot of bizarre attempts to use anti-Semitism to various people's advantages.
Right.
This was sort of like, I mean, it sort of read as fake immediately because it was so, like, blunt.
Right.
And, you know, it was such an obvious echo of, like, Hitler's schemes.
Yeah.
But it was definitely concerning that, because it's a very cynical thing to do.
It is.
Especially if you know anything about the Jewish community. Jews are still talking about the Holocaust.
Right.
Like it happened yesterday. Like, that. This is, like, an extremely cynical strategy to take up. So it's certainly concerning. And the local Jewish community, a lot of people were interviewed and said they hadn't really experienced a lot of anti-Semitism in Ukraine, and that wasn't really an issue on the large scale there. People in Israel and the U.S. were up in fucking arms.
Yeah, they were way more crazy about it than, because, like, even the person, you know, the Donetsk Jewish community sort of, like, dismissed it, and they were like, it's just a provocation. Like, it's not, like, nobody there really was, it was Israel and pro-Israel groups in the U.S. who were, like, more upset about this than anybody else.
They were losing their
was.
Fucking shit.
They were.
They were losing their minds over this.
Yeah.
Which is probably, I mean, that's the reaction that I would have guessed would have come out of this, but it's funny because I bet the people that wrote it didn't think about what the echoes of this would end up being in the U.S. where everyone gets so nuts about this just because of an Israel, you know, political situation, like, not even because we care about Ukraine or really the Jewish community in Ukraine. I mean, I would argue that the American political world is not really up in arms because they care so much about Jews in Ukraine.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
It's that they are, like, they care about this faction of Israel supporters and, you know, it's like a whole complicated thing that they scared up and now we're all having to deal with over here. So that's why it was such a big deal.
Yeah.
But that was another bizarre thing that was going on over there. At this point, everything is bizarre. I was reading headlines today about how no one thinks that Russia's, you know, everyone's sort of, like, worried that Russia's not going to abide by this agreement, which we already said. But I was reading the headlines in French, and it was odd, because I've been reading the French news all week. I decided to learn French last week, so now I've been reading the news in French. And, like, all week, the headlines were, like, about dumb, random shit that was going on. And this was the first time that I saw, like, a major Ukraine headline in the French news. And I was like, shit is falling apart over there, obviously.
Yeah.
Now that the French care, that's when you know.
Right.
They've been talking about what possible habitable planets all week.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
They discovered some potential habitable,
Earth,
like,
something that looked like Earth.
Yeah, Earth-like planets out in the solar system, whatever.
It's almost said in the world, but that's not right.
That's not right. They were in their own world.
Correct.
Which was the solar system of something.
Yeah. Not ours.
Not ours. No. I don't fully understand how telescopes are seeing that far.
I don't either.
And are they?
I should
even
be. I'm watching Cosmos.
Yeah, you're the one who's watching the televised explanation of that.
These very things.
I don't have any scientific facts to share about that.
No, I don't either.
But I did read a book that was fiction about it recently, so.
Well,
that's what I know. Okay. Meanwhile, Obamacare.
Yeah.
Number the final numbers.
Right. Great
post
news.
April 15th.
Right.
Are great.
Right. They're awesome. And the CBO came out with their new report sort of like as it sort of finished up. And it was like, first off, we found out that 8 million people were on it. They announced once we sort of like got pushed, you know, to the, you know, to April 15th, because we were a little over, what was it? It was like 7.5 at the end of March,
seven,
basically, right? Okay. So, but the CBO estimates that 12 million people are going to get health insurance under the Affordable Care Act this year. Millions more are going to, you know, over the next decade,
over time.
But also, but not just that, there was like more even more good news sort of like tucked in this study because or in their findings, because it's also going to cost the federal government a lot less money than sort of it was initially projected. Yeah. And so the federal government's going to spend $100 billion less on the coverage provisions through 2014. And that includes $5 billion this year. And also the state exchanges are projected to cost 14% less than they were originally forecast. So all good news.
Makes you wonder what those initial numbers were based on.
Yeah. Well, and also these
random numbers,
because we're spending less on this, the overall deficits are shrinking. So we're going to be running at a deficit that's like 33% lower than the deficit that we were running at in 2013, just due to these new Obamacare numbers.
Yeah. It's so, like a helpful law that's saving us money. Right.
And they also project that 19 million people are going to have coverage by the end of next year. And 25 million more by 2016, and 26 million more by 2026.
And that's half of the uninsured.
Yeah. So there you go. Working. And this is our... We're going to give another shout-out. We've been doing a lot of California Obamacare shout-outs, and we're going to do another
one.
Well,
we've been winning at it.
We're winning at it, and we continue to win at it, because we got our final numbers. And we were really helped by... the extension to April 15th.
Yes.
Because we got, as we just said,
Classic California. No one was doing anything on time.
Because as we said, they moved between March, the end of March, and April 15th, the entire number moved from 7.5 to 8 million. So that's 500,000. Over 200,000 of that was in California in those last two weeks, because 200,000 people signed up between March 31st and April 15th.
We had a day where 50,000 people in California
signed up. Yeah, the last day, April 15th, 50,000 people. It was the biggest day for any of the state exchanges.
This is such a typical California problem. Thing.
I know. Yeah.
Like waiting till the last possible second.
But we also had 1.4 million people sign up, which was almost a fifth of the total enrollees. And that beat the federal forecast for the state of California by 800,000. We like doubled what they estimated. Yeah. Oh, more than doubled what they estimated we were going to have.
Were estimates thinking that people were walking around not wanting health care?
They must have.
They were like, we're going to have to fight them on this because they don't want it. And we need to convince them they do.
Yeah. But Latino enrollment went up, like surged way at the end too, because we sort of like, we didn't do a great job initially of sort of like trying to get everybody, and the Spanish language site didn't initially work as well as the other. So like we had issues there, and that was a thing that they were trying to fix, and they kept saying, we're going to get this number up by the end, and they did. So that's a pretty 300,000 out of that number, out of, you know, 1.4. Yeah. That's not bad. It certainly probably doesn't represent the percentage of the population, but I mean... You know, it was much lower than that at a certain point.
Exactly.
And also, with 18 to 34-year-olds, we had 29% of the enrollees were 18 to 34, and only 25% of our population is 18 to 34. So they really
did...
We're a state
that has, I think, a fairly progressive young population,
right.
So
true.
People weren't afraid to sign up for Obamacare.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Mississippi might have a really young population, too, because everyone's probably having a million children there. But, like, they're probably all thinking horrible things about Obamacare and trying not to have health insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Well, and they're probably not allowed to sign up for Medicare there, or Medicaid.
No, they don't have it.
Because their dumb governor
just don't have anything.
Yeah, exactly.
They just don't. If you're poor in Mississippi, you're just shit out of luck.
Yeah, you're screwed.
You shouldn't do it.
So, anyway, go us.
Yeah,
again,
we won.
California wins
Winning.
Obamacare. Yep.
It's like no one even tried. Like, no one else was even trying to compete with us there.
Yeah. Well, we just proved that, when you try...
Yeah. That's the first step to succeeding.
Right.
There's an adage, I'm sure, somewhere in there that I just don't know.
Right.
I can't remember. I'm going to butcher it. I've been butchering a lot of adages this week.
That's okay.
Makes me worry that learning French is ruining my ability to know adages in English.
Well, it might just be that you're trying to learn, like, six languages all at the same time.
Brent and I have been using an iPhone app to, like... do sort of like dumb, you know, iPhone games
in
other
doing
languages.
Spanish, but Lila's doing
I'm
all
doing
of
like
the
all
languages.
The languages that they offer at once. Because sometimes you just get bored of doing one. Yesterday, I did the beginning thing in five languages.
All of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really well versed in how you say I am an apple in every romance language. I can say I'm a woman, I'm a man, and I'm an apple. And that's it.
You never know when you might need to say any of those three things. Yeah.
Well, sometimes you're an apple.
Oh. And in good news for CNN only, I guess, yes, they finally can stop talking about the Malaysian airline flight because right. there was
another, a new tragedy.
There's a new tragedy last week, which is actually terrible. We shouldn't joke about it. But there was this ferry that was carrying, you know, hundreds of, you know, children and their teachers.
Right.
That
in South Korea.
In South Korea. And it crashed. Sank. It sank. And
they did a terrible job of evacuating everybody. And so a lot of people died.
Right. 87 people were reported dead, but 215 people are still missing. So it's like they're
missing in the sea.
Right. So
they're not going to find
them. Right. 174 people were rescued initially, but that was on Wednesday, and they haven't found survivors since. Yeah, exactly. So
it's like Titanic style.
Right. But it's gone. We've been finding out a lot of stuff about this as we sort of go, obviously, and the captain of the ship has now been charged with like a bunch of stuff, basically. Yeah. Like, because he was charged with abandoning his boat, negligence, causing bodily injury, not seeking rescue from other ships, and violating seaman's law. If he's convicted, he could face anywhere from 5 years to life.
Any amount of time in jail.
Yep.
We have no way of knowing
how much amounts of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But basically, instead of just evacuating everybody and having people jump into the water,
right,
they made everyone like sit and wait. I guess, it's like what you do to avoid panic in a situation, unless you need everyone to actually leave in order to resolve the situation.
Well, that's the thing, because once everybody's inside a sinking ship, then you're stuck
in the sinking ship. Like, you can't get out of a sinking ship.
Sure, if you jump, then you're in freezing cold water, but, like, at least if a rescue boat comes or something like that,
you
then
can
you're,
be pulled out of said
you're at
water.
Least in the water.
You're not at the bottom
if
of the sea.
If you're stuck in a boat that has sunk, then you are not going anywhere.
If you can't open doors
you're one
because of
the
pressure
215
difference.
People who are still missing.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what you are.
They're probably all sitting in rows in the middle of the boat.
Yeah.
That's at the bottom of the ocean. Ugh.
So, but also 7 other crew members have since been detained and are probably going to be charged.
Yeah. It turns out their safety training in the Korean ferry biz was
not up
to snuff.
Apparently, yeah.
No.
But it just sort of like had all of the, you know, I mean, it's just
horrible human interest elements.
Right, because like, you know, it was like kids and they were all like texting their family from, so we were like getting to read like all of these texts that like these kids were sending from a sinking ship, like as they were dying. I mean, it was just, there's so many terrible elements. One of the teachers who did get off of the boat has since committed suicide because he felt guilty because he was one of the survivors. And like, I mean, it just has, it's terrible. I mean, but like, I think that we're going to be seeing some heads roll now that we're sort of finally figuring out what happened.
This is a good time for me to discuss that when someone tells you to stay where you are during an emergency, you should never do
leave.
That.
Leave. Quickly.
This is a thing people are always trying to do in an emergency. They're always trying to convince you that if you cooperate and stay calm, everything will be fine.
Right. The
first thing that you should do in an emergency when there is clear bodily harm on the way is fucking leave.
Right. Get away from
the harm.
Right.
If you are in a sinking boat, get off the boat.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the big controversies about how they handled the evacuation in my high school at 9/11, because they kept telling us to stay inside because all of their training had sort of suggested that if there's harm outside of the school building, that you keep the kids inside.
Right.
The problem is that if the harm is all-encompassing,
right,
and is giant buildings falling down on everyone's head, you can't, it's not better to just wait until it's all over and keep the kids inside. You should try to leave before it happens.
Right.
Like, when a building is threatening to fall down and you're under it,
yeah,
you should try to get out of the path of the building before it falls.
Don't just stay and hope that that doesn't happen.
Don't be like, oh, I'm protected by this building that I'm in that could also fall down when a building falls on it. Like, that's not a good idea.
No.
So my advice to anyone who's in an emergency is do stay calm.
Yes.
And don't hit anybody. That's mean.
Sure.
But just
Don't listen to people who are pretending
that they know what to do.
Yeah.
Unless they legitimately seem to know what to do. Otherwise, you should just leave. You should take it upon yourself to walk away.
Yeah.
Get out of the danger.
Yeah.
Ugh. Meanwhile. Oh, we may never, ever find out what happens with Keystone.
Oh, I know. It's going to keep getting pushed until
literally, because it's been indefinitely extended.
Right.
Because they're waiting on some case in Nebraska that we talked about months ago.
Yeah, remember, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, specifically the Supreme Court, like, said that they couldn't have okayed it. Remember, because, like
some
the
sort of Nebraska
legislature,
state law that,
like, bypassed their constitution, because, like, I think they have to, like, it has to be, like, voted upon, or, like, for them to, like, have a pipeline pass through there or something like that, but they just like let the governor decide and like pass some shady law so they could just like declare the pipeline
and then it got taken to court
there or whatever, and then it went to court. Right. So that was like in February. So now the Obama administration is indefinitely extending their review of the pipeline. And basically people are saying that like this, that particular case could be continued to be tied up in the courts for like the next year. So it's going to push it to after the next election. It's like going to be, it
was, they should indefinitely extend the review till infinity time.
Oh, I know. Like, you know, there were people who were, it was so weird seeing the reactions to this because like, this is a weird one because like you've got a
everyone's
lot of
everyone's on the wrong side.
Everybody's
of it.
You've got Democrats and Republicans who are both for it. You have pretty much only Democrats
who are against it.
But you also sort of have like there were weird responses to this because like some of the green groups came out and they were like super happy about this because like they were like, you know, any day where we don't have the Keystone Pipeline is a better day than having the Keystone Pipeline. But like you also saw sort of like some of the crazier ones like come out and be like, why doesn't he just say that he doesn't want to build the damn thing? Because, like, all signs sort of, like, point to the fact that he really kind of doesn't want to. But, like, you also saw some of, like, your typical Democrats, like, all the, like, Alaska Democrat up there who's, like, running for re-election. Like, sort of, you know, they're all energy. All the energy Democrats were, like, Mary Landrieu was, like, basically just, like, she was super pissed because she wants a pipeline
everywhere.
Head
of the energy committee.
Right.
So that's helpful.
But she said something. She said it was irresponsible and unnecessary and unacceptable.
Is it irresponsible to await the fate of a court case that needs to be decided to find out if it's illegal for them to build the damn thing? That's, I think, one of the more responsible things you could do.
I think so, too.
Is awaiting justice.
Yeah.
Awaiting the cause of justice. Just seems like, as a person who works in government, that's what she would want them to do.
She doesn't, though. She just wants a fucking pipeline.
No, she just wants a pipeline.
Yeah. She wants gas to be flowing from any place that
to any other
could
place.
Potentially be flowing from.
All around her, she wants gas to be flowing.
Yep, that's it.
In every direction.
Yeah.
So we may, hopefully, we'll just never find out whether this is okay.
Yeah.
Then they can't build it. They can't build it if it's not okay with anyone. And they can't, we don't have anything to be up in arms about if it is okay, but we, you know, if it's not okay, because then, you know, nothing's being built. But as long as, once it is okay, we have all this work to do.
Right.
So, like, this is just an easier way for us to go. We could just never build it, and no one has to do anything, and everyone who wants it to be built can continue to talk about it.
Right.
They can talk about it all they want.
Yeah.
But the rest of us can just feel calm knowing that we don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Whereas, as soon as they start building it, it's like, then one side has won. Currently, no one's won.
Right.
And that's how I think we should keep it.
I agree.
Meanwhile, the reason it is going to get built is...
Because of money.
Because of money. Because Princeton did the study that, not surprisingly, found out that the U.S. is an oligarchy.
Yes. In the least shocking news story of the week.
Rich people control the government.
Right, exactly. So basically what they did was they studied, like, for over 20 years, basically. They did this between 82 and 2002, which, what have they been doing like, for the last 12 years? I guess really working hard at what they found, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or not working very hard
not
at what they found.
They've
been really putting it off.
Right.
Doing some procrastinating. But basically what they found is that they looked at nearly 800 or 1,800 policy issues, like, over that period. And when the rich support a policy, it's... has like a 45% chance of becoming law, and when they oppose it, it only has an 18% chance of being enacted. And basically, it doesn't matter what, you know, large swaths of the country think.
Right. It doesn't matter what the middle class thinks.
It matters what the 1% thinks.
Doesn't matter what the poor think.
Right.
I mean, usually it matters what the poor think, because they want whatever the opposite of that is.
Yeah.
But
because that was the other thing that it found. It found that the preferences of the middle class made essentially no difference to how a bill got passed in Congress.
Yeah. So, you've been voting for nothing.
Yeah. Yep.
You have nothing to do with anything.
Right, exactly.
Become a millionaire if you want a voice.
Yes, that's
the only way to participate in America.
I would like that.
I know.
I'm
trying so hard.
Yeah.
I'm not trying hard at all. I could be trying harder. I just...
Right.
I hate dealing with other rich people. Other rich people. Like,
I know.
I hate dealing with any rich people.
Certainly, all of our, you know, the Supreme Court's campaign finance laws, or not just, you know... Not laws.
Finance decisions.
Decisions, yes. Yeah. Are not helping.
They're not helping at all.
Although, and these weren't, we didn't even have those between 82 and 2002. So it's probably just going to get worse from here.
Yeah, we already knew all of
this. We knew all of this.
This is not news, really.
Right. Now we just
have
science.
It's nice to have some numbers.
Right, yeah.
It's always nice to have numbers. But, like, this is something that we could have probably known in 1982.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, It's a good thing to keep in mind always.
I bet it has. I would be interested. It's gotten worse. I would be interested to see what the uptick like in those numbers was like between like.
It's gotten worse, definitely, because the gap between the rich and the poor has gotten so much worse. Exactly. There's no way it couldn't have gotten worse because rich people are so much richer than poor people were in 1982.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations to Chelsea Clinton.
Yes.
She's pregnant.
The Hillary's Clinton dynasty is procreating.
Mm, yes. And the Clintons are going to be grandparents now. Yes. Very exciting. She announced it at a joint event with her mom, which was like at some like women's like leadership council group or something like that, which is like,
this is how we know.
I know.
This is how you know.
It's so annoying. Like, do a press. Like, don't be at a event with your... I mean, I'm happy for her. I'm sure she's going to be a lovely mother. The Clintons will be great grandparents.
Yes. But Bill's going to be a fun grandfather.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
Yeah. But anyway, so they... But she, in her announcement, she said, I certainly... Because she was at this event, she said, I certainly feel all the better, whether it's a girl or a boy, that she or he will grow up in a world full of so many strong young female leaders. Which...
Then, a bunch of pro-lifers...
Oh, my God.
Got all up in arms because she was referring to the fetus as a potential human.
Right. They apparently the pro-lifers wanted her to be referring to it as a fetus.
Yes.
I currently have a fetus inside.
I feel better that this
me.
Fetus, whether it becomes a girl or a boy,
right,
will potentially grow up if it makes it out of the fetus stage.
Because basically, what they were saying is that obviously she thinks that it's a baby, so it's disingenuous to think
that they don't believe that that life starts at conception.
Right.
Despite the fact that the English language makes it very difficult to distinguish.
Right.
And that it is commonly understood that when you are planning to have a baby, it's okay to talk about the baby in the present tense while it's growing in your stomach. Ugh. That is different than when you're planning to abort the baby, at which point you often don't talk about whether it's going to be a boy or a girl or many of these other things.
Yeah. It's just so annoying.
But
those people.
Those people are the worst. They can't be trusted to do anything right.
No. Neither can Alan West.
No,
but I'm excited that he's back. It's been so long since we talked about Alan West. I have a feeling that if we were looking, we could probably find something ridiculous that Alan West had said every week because he's on Fox News. But like, I just don't
reading the Florida Man Twitter feed or something.
Oh yeah, exactly. Or watching Fox News ourselves. But I'm not going to be getting to that. No. But anyway, he is super pissed that Muslims are voting.
Yes.
In a block, apparently. Yeah. Or so he says. I don't know. He probably doesn't have math.
They're organizing to destroy the United States.
Yeah, by voting.
By voting.
As American citizens.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
That's up to some shenanigans. Yeah. Sneaky of them.
Yes, but he warned that Muslims are trying to destroy America. And he said, he was having this conversation with Steve Doocy, of course. And he said, they're forming some type of political party, a voting bloc, as they call it. And then Steve Doocy said, in this country! And then Alan West said, that's right. To institutionalize policies that favor them to destroy America from within using a civilizational jihad. What? And that's what you see happening here. These things are happening right under our nose. And for whatever reason, we have politicians that don't want to confront and don't want to... Or don't
want to confront don't, and don't,
oh,
want,
don't
to
want to
combat
the issue. Yeah.
Here's something I'd like to point out. One is, all Americans vote to institutionalize policies that favor them.
Correct.
So if you are a Muslim American... Who's voting, you're not voting for policies that don't help you.
Correct.
Or people like you or or people.
Right.
You're
not voting on bills to, send all of the Muslims back to their homelands.
You're not
voting on bills
to outlaw practicing Islam. There's a number of bills that, as a Muslim, you would not be in favor of.
Correct.
That's understandable. I wouldn't be in favor of a lot of them either, and I'm not Muslim.
Right.
So, a lot of the time, when people are voting in a self-interested manner, they're voting in a manner that also happens to be in the self-interest of many other people.
Correct.
Including other people like them. So, that's not a charge that makes them un-American to be voting for policies that favor them.
Right.
That's what all Americans who are voting are doing. Not enough Americans, in fact, are voting. Therefore, not enough Americans are exercising this very important thing that we can all do.
I would presume, and I don't have the numbers on this, but I have a feeling Alan West doesn't have the numbers on this either.
He doesn't have numbers.
My guess is that they probably aren't voting in as much of a block as probably like some other groups of
people. And I would argue that if they are, it's probably only in response to this freaking American jihad that we've been having against them.
I mean, if they're much like so many other sort of like ethnic groups, and I don't mean to lump them all together, but like I have a feeling are probably
fairly
more diverse and also on some level more conservative.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, I mean, I think that they're probably not necessarily voting for Republicans, because Republicans have sort of, like Alan West, have sort of, you know, brazenly come out and, you know, say things like this. But if the Republicans weren't saying things like this, they would probably be okay with
getting
voting
a certain amount of the Muslim vote.
Right.
Well, and like many other large-scale religions, there's a lot of different kinds of Muslims in the U.S.
Yes,
and there are some very religious Muslims that are probably voting along very religious lines and probably are voting very conservatively, even though they have all this bigotry that they're facing within their own party. And there's probably a lot of Muslims who are just 20-something dudes that are voting like 20-somethings.
Or not voting.
Or not voting at all.
Not voting as part of a bloc to take over America from the inside.
Civilizational jihad is an interesting term.
Well, it's this term that he just made up.
He made that up. But also,
it's certainly not a thing that's happening. It's
certainly not a thing that means anything, for one thing. But it's also an interesting term to use. I mean, this is rhetoric. They just like getting to say the word jihad a lot. That's like their favorite thing in the world to do.
Yeah.
This is the same thing that every immigrant group gets accused of doing.
Yeah.
Like Asian people are doing it because they're going to college, and like Jews were doing it for a while, and Irish people were doing it for a while. Yeah. Everyone's done it.
Yeah.
You know? So this is not a departure per se.
Yeah.
But it is sort of like old.
Yes, it is.
Muslims have been here a long fucking time.
Yes.
Like, we need to learn what Islam is.
Right.
And figure out how similar it is to a lot of other but more horrible religions that we're practicing here.
Right. Yeah. God. You know what's funny?
Oh my God.
Irony.
Yeah.
Irony's funny.
This story was...
This is a classic one. We should post the video on this because it's hilarious. Because, first off, Richard Blumenthal, who's a senator from Connecticut, was in Connecticut because he was at some Amtrak station, and it was a press conference
on train
safety. And first off, all you have to do is, like, you see where they're setting up. Like, you can see this coming a mile away.
Yeah.
Because everyone, you don't have
anybody
to be
who's not them.
Anybody who's not them knows that you're not supposed to cross the yellow line.
Right?
Like, there's always a yellow line or
there's
some sort of line.
Train safety is actually not much of an issue because there's always a very clear line
that you are not supposed to cross.
The issue with train safety is not passenger safety as much as it is maintenance issues.
So he's there with the mayor of whatever city this is, and they're setting up some sort of easel with some, you know, piece of, you know,
to show us what train safety looks like.
Yeah, exactly. And almost got hit by a train.
Yeah. As the mayor, he's standing behind the mayor, and as the mayor says, safety, as you know, is paramount.
Mm-hmm.
A train comes into the station.
Nearly clips him.
Like,
there were a lot of train incidents. Did you see that that kid who basically got almost hit by the train again too because he was taking a selfie too close to the train track?
People,
stay away from the trains.
Listen. I know that it is really compelling after you've been riding trains frequently, you live near a subway system, to get like real up close to the edge of the train line.
You think you know.
You're like, oh, I'm a person who knows. And that's all well and good if you have like some sort of solid support beam next to you or something like that. The issue is when trains come into stations, winds start blowing. So like wherever you're standing, if it's too close to the train, you could be in the train without realizing it by the time the train arrives because things are blowing around when trains come flying through stations.
Yeah.
Nobody is a good enough train stander to stand on the other side of the yellow line. I've stood on the other side of the yellow line in packed train stations before.
Sure, you gotta be careful. Yeah.
You want to make sure you're holding on or look like you could be holding on to someone who also doesn't want to fall into the train, because if you fall, then you'll take them with you and then no one wants that, so everyone helps you stay out of the train.
God.
But this is not... It's not hard to not be hit by an Amtrak, is another thing that I think we should discuss. That's... Amtraks are a train that... It's not like a commuter train. Like, you take it because you're going on a trip. It's like being hit by an airplane. It's hard. It's not hard to not be hit by an airplane at an airport.
No.
You just stay out of the path of airplanes. Train tracks are very... The trains only go in
on
one
place.
There's nothing else that they do.
And an airplane...
They can't wander aimlessly.
It's harder to stay out of the way.
Right. Like, a train can only be where it's supposed to be. So, like, as long as you don't stand on train tracks...
Right.
You're going to prevent being hit by a train.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Although, did you see there was some... Where was it? There was some GIF that I... Is it GIF or GIF? No one knows.
GIF. Yeah.
GIF that I saw. Of a train... In some subway situation, but, like, somewhere else, like, abroad, that, like, jumped the tracks and, like, ended up on the floor above the...
Oh, my God.
It, like, goes up the stairs.
No, I didn't see that.
It was crazy looking. Fascinating. I watched it a million times.
Train? Oh, my
God. It was crazy.
I'm going to have to look at that. Well, the most hilarious super PAC is No More. Well, I don't really know if it was a super PAC because it didn't take in any money and it didn't give any money out.
The most hilarious potential organization.
Right. Called the Boats and Hose PAC. Based out of Texas.
Where, of course, I mean...
was within, like, 24 hours was disbanded because, like, the Democrats caught wind of it and really were laying it on thick. Because it was this guy, Sean...
Milwaukee.
Yeah, who is, like, a controller for Blakemore and Associates, but that's, like, a Republican...
That's a consulting firm.
Yeah, it's a Republican consulting firm that, like, is used by a lot of Texas, like, high-ranking GOP officials, including, like, the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick, State Senator Donna Campbell. Those are the people who... Oh, yes, no, those are the people who use that. Sorry, okay, I got confused. Anyway, so, like, immediately after it came out, Republicans started kind of, like, distancing themselves from it, but, like, the Democrats were, like, really, like, pounding on it and, like, talking about, like, as you would. Yeah, exactly. So, but, like, within 24 hours, it was dissolved, like, with the Ethics Committee, which I'm surprised that they even have that in Texas.
I know.
There's an Ethics Committee.
Surprised they have ethics.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, no donations coming in or going out, but still...
Do we know why they wanted to call it Boats and Hoes?
Well, it was in reference to that... it was in reference to a movie where... with Will Ferrell and that... with the twin... what was the one where
Step
Will Ferrell... Step Brothers. Yes.
Where there was like a Step Brothers?
Yes, because there's like some Boats and Hoes video in there. They like make like this music video, the two of them, for like Boats and Hoes. Or it was like a business they wanted to start or something. I can't remember all the details, but like it's a reference to like this video from Step Brothers, Boats and Hoes.
Oh God.
But it's just like but don't name a pack that.
Don't
that's
name
like
your pack
gonna that you intend to like actually use to give money to like Republican people who are running for actual offices. Like you can't be named that.
That's
stupid.
Stupid. It's stupid.
I mean, it's maybe a little funny, but it's just
not,
like
it's not funny enough.
If it was, it would still be stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
Is what I'm saying.
If
it was hilarious,
kind of person that thinks it's funny, it's still too stupid.
Right.
Too like.
I know.
If you are currently sitting here and thinking, that's hilarious. Yeah. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
It doesn't change the fact that it was too stupid.
Yeah.
So that's over.
Agreed. Next up, this is a segment. We should just start having this be a weekly segment.
Cat attack.
Because this is, we've had too much of this recently. We've been reporting on cats attempting to kill humans way too much over the past.
I'm not surprised.
Very recently. And I'm not looking hard for these stories either.
No,
I'm not
they're everywhere.
Like, for a while when we were doing a lot of stories about sinkholes, I was looking for sinkhole stories.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not looking for cats trying to
they're
kill
just
human
on
stories.
Your computer.
They're just there.
Yeah.
You just find them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just there. Anyway, but a cat apparently gave a baby meningitis recently.
Like, first of all, meningitis is scary enough.
Yeah, that kills you.
When humans give it to you.
Yeah.
But cats...
I just got a vaccination recently because all the gays are trying to give it to each other around
here. Suddenly
here.
West Hollywood, which is much like a college dorm.
It's like it's God.
Is passing meningitis around.
For everything around
here. Yeah. Seriously. but this was a cat who gave meningitis to a three-year-old named Sparkle.
A three-week-old,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, named Sparkle.
Three-week-old named Sparkle.
Mm-hmm. Cat's name is Chesney.
It's like...
Right.
That's the cat that would give Sparkle fucking meningitis.
But the story was actually, because this happened like 3 years ago, but there was like a story recently about it because like...
Yeah, in a weird twist.
In a weird twist, yes. Because they basically checked up on Sparkle and Chesney, and that's what we were learning about in the story. They're like best buds now.
Yeah. If I were Sparkle...
Yeah.
I would harbor a lifelong distaste for cats.
Well, no, Sparkle's a real cat lady, apparently.
God.
She's a three-year-old cat lady.
Willing to forgive cats for literally trying to kill her.
Still plays with the cat. There were pictures of her holding the cat.
They said they said that they had asked the doctors if they should get rid of the cat after Sparkle came down with meningitis, and the doctor was like, "Well, she's already caught it." Like,
right. Well,
I mean,
and it was
you
sort
don't
of like,
re-get it,
and
really?
I guess that they right. Well, and it also was sort of like it was passed like through saliva, which is a way that can get passed because like I guess like the cat had it somehow or whatever, and then like licked the baby's bottle or something. I don't know. It was just like
I
something,
don't
like
that cats are able to get human diseases.
I don't either. Well, you shouldn't have cats around babies anyway because last month.
Yeah.
There was a cat who belonged to this Oregon family, and they made national headlines because The cat attacked the baby and then turned on its owners and trapped them in their bedroom.
There's a hilarious 9/11 call.
Yes, they had to be rescued from their own
home.
Where
you can hear the cat, like, hissing and scratching through the bedroom door, and they're, like, terrified near tears.
Yes.
Asking to be rescued from their own house.
Own home. And so the police had to come and rescue them. And but there was another one that was like a month ago.
Oh, so that cat was named Cat, K-H-A-T.
K-H-A-T, yeah, exactly. But there was another one just very recently in Roseville, California. Oh, this is the one with Cat. These are separate stories.
This is a separate story.
Yeah. Two others here.
God.
Yeah, I know. And they were, three members of a family were taken to a hospital on Tuesday night after the pet cat became suddenly aggressive and attacked them. And they had to go to the hospital. They had, like, facial lacerations and stuff like...
I'm not surprised to hear this, because we know a lot of cat owners who end up with injuries.
Oh, every cat owner I know has cat scars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bless you. Talking about cats is enough to make a person sneeze.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, no, this is a widespread cat problem.
Yeah.
And I would recommend that if you have a cat, you reconsider your priorities.
Well, you never know.
It seems like they might kill you.
Right, exactly. You just never know.
As I often say, it is like inviting a tiny lion or a tiny cheetah into your house.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
No.
They don't have any loyalty to you. They don't even... They just think that you're doing a bad job of being a cat. They just feel sorry for you.
Yep.
Which is, you don't need all that pity in your life. That's terrible.
Gross. Nobody wants
that. Dogs at least want to help. They're not good at it, but they want to.
Yeah.
They want to impress you.
Uh-huh.
Cats don't want your...
Ray Ray's impressing me right now.
Yeah, she hasn't... I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
I know. She's in... We only have one more story left. She's in here right now, which normally we don't do, because she always ends up having a barking
fit at some point. Yeah.
But we were left with no choice tonight for reasons that we don't need to get into. But yeah, she's being good. She's sitting in her bed over there.
Eating her comically large bone. She eats only the most comically gigantic bones.
That's what she likes.
So weird.
Or that's all we get her.
That's all we get her.
She doesn't go pick them out with me.
No. I mean, she doesn't know better.
She gets what I give her.
The most important story that I read about this week.
Correct.
That is not news at all. But is important for you to know as an American, is that every member of Congress has a subscription to Hustler magazine that they cannot get rid of.
Yep.
Larry Flint thought he was being real hilarious.
Yes.
In 1983.
Hey, he's been doing
when
it
when he
forever.
Started doing this. And started, you know, gave started mailing a Hustler every month to every member of Congress. All 535 of them.
Yep.
Hundreds of them have filed complaints.
Right.
They've all tried to get the subscriptions to end.
And hundreds of them, like, collectively filed complaints, like, the year after it. But, like, a court basically was like, it's not a hardship on you to be getting Hustler.
To throw Hustler in the trash.
I think I didn't pull this quote, but, like, I feel like from the court case or something, the judge was like, presumably all of your congressional offices have garbage cans.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
No. But it warms my heart, really.
It's so good. I know.
I just love the idea.
How mad are they really about getting it?
Well, exactly.
And maybe some of the women. There is not one straight male congressman probably has not cracked it open once, in the privacy of their office.
I love the idea of them going to pick up their mail, like sending an intern
and
to
it's in
pick
a manila
up their
envelope.
Mail.
So they probably know that it's coming.
Send it in an unmarked envelope, going to pick up the mail, like reading constituent complaints, like my fire hydrant is broken on blah, blah, blah street, and then having to also figure out what to do with the Hustler every month.
So good.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Why isn't Playboy also doing this? Like, why isn't everyone doing this
all
the time?
Yeah.
Why isn't every magazine doing this? Anyway.
That was
final
news.
Yeah. Next week we'll have other news. That's how it works. you know, happy post Easter.
Yes.
Post Passover celebration. People kept wishing me happy Passover yesterday, and I was like, I don't know how to celebrate that either. It's because I was a little bit lost in the Easter celebrations as usual.
Well, I often forget that Passover lasts like a whole week.
Yeah.
And because most Christian holidays, we sort of, have, a season, kind of, but, we don't really have sort of, week-long. Actually, Easter is probably the closest thing, because you have Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, and happens on
Thursday?
Thursday is when,
I didn't know there was a Thursday.
Yeah, there's a Thursday, because Thursday, the day before Good Friday, is when, Jesus is given up, by his, the traitor disciples.
Oh.
Yes, sure, happens on Thursday, and then Friday is when he's caught and then crucified, and then Sunday he the third day he rises from the dead.
Right.
Yeah, that's what happens.
It's in a cave or something.
Probably something on Saturday, but I don't know what it is.
Jesus in a cave day.
But anyway, but like on, I was talking to one of my friends who is Jewish and is a practicing Jewish person. And she, on Saturday night sent me a text and she was like, I'm watching the Ten Commandments on ABC right now. And I was like, does ABC realize the Ten Commandments doesn't have anything to do with Easter? And then she was like, okay, insensitive, like, this, you're not the only person that's having a holiday right now. And I was like, oh, I forgot that Passover is, like, still happening.
Still
right
going
now.
On. Yeah. I know, I just sort of mark the time Passover is passing by how long matzah is in our kitchen at work.
Or grocery store, right.
Or in the grocery store, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the post.
Because they had, like, $20 boxes out that would have fed, like, a family of 10 for, like, the rest of the year, basically, I know. When we were at the store the other day.
Also, for some reason, that Israeli matzah that's, like, really big and round, but for some reason tastes better than other matzah, was, like, $15 for one box.
I don't like that.
I was going to buy some of that, and then I was like, I'm not
it's flour
trying
and
to
water.
Spend $15 on flour and water crackers. No. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, in any case, next week there are no holidays, so we'll have nothing of that nature to report to you. Mm-hmm. Just the news. In any case, have a good week.
Yes.
Bye.